Jordan. Even when you bring it, I don't drink it, but I can drink. I'll be hungry and I'll have it. The title of my even when you bring it, I don't drink it, but I can drink. I'll be hungry and I'll have it. The title of my talk is Peace and the Redemptive Process. Some people might expect that I'm going to talk about the peace process, but if that would be the case, the title would be Redemption and the Peace Process. So it's the other way around. It doesn't take too much textual knowledge and imagination and theological speculation to realize that shalom is a very important component of Jewish tradition. Peace, very, very significant. We find Birchas Kohanim, of course, Yivarech Hashem Yishmarecho. So Rashi means from Chazal, what's Yishmarecho? We should protect you, Shlo Yu. Your boy showed them. They shouldn't have any mugger, right? No crime. And then the end of the Birchas Kohanim is the Yosef Mechor Sholom. So that is obviously goes beyond the idea to live in just in safety. Because Mechor Sholom is a higher concept of Sholom, some form of peace and tranquility that is very significant, very important. As we well know, the Torah Shabbat Peh ends on the note of Shalom. The last Mishnah in Shas ends with the words of Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, L'motza kodesh bochu, kli marzik brocha li Yisrael el ha-Shalom. That the Shalom is the keli, the vessel that holds all the blessing. So, supposedly at the end of Shas, learning all Torah and all its blessings, in the fine analysis, it is dispersed and disappears if you don't have the Kli Marzi Brocha, that vessel that holds it all together, which is Shalom, which is peace. We finish the Shmona Esra, all the brachas, with Sim Shalom. Peace. Sim Shalom. Tov Brocha. And we even say it on Shabbos. Theoretically, I mean, if you look at it, you don't do petitionary prayers on Shabbos. This is why we don't say the middle blessings, on the first three, the last three. But Sim Shalom is a form of petition. We're asking God, Sim Shalom, give peace. Alright? I have not seen anybody comment on that, but I would assume that Shalom is so vital, so important, the Kli Marzi Brocha, that whatever you say, you have to finish off with Shalom. According to the portion, it's related to Birchas Kohanim, but that's the same thing, Sim Shalom. In fact, one of the Mephoshim says, it says in the Torah, Lo Sabara Ish Bechon Mosh Vasechem B'Shabbos, do not light a fire in all your dwelling places on Shabbos. He takes it in a homiletical sense. He says, do not make a fire in your home on Shabbos. Is why? Because in Shabbos and Yom Tov, people are off from work, and they're at home, and when people don't have anything to do, they get on each other's nerves. So that's a very good opportunity to get the fights to affect the Shulam Bayit. So the Torah says, "Lo savara ish b'chol Moshe v'seichan." In other words, the Sim Shalom is doubly relevant for the Shabbos and Yom Tov. In fact, there used to be a saying in Europe, I remember as a child, they used to say that the Klei Kodesh, the rabbi, the Chazan, the Shabbos, all the people, the Klei Kodesh, they used to say, when it comes to the Chol Hamoed, let's get up and go out of town. Because everybody's off from work, so whom are they going to start up with? They're going to take umbrage with the clergy, so let's all get out of town. But it's taken a step further, the concept of Shalom. The end of the Kaddish, Ose Shalom b'mromov, Hu Yaaseh Shalom Oleinu b'Kol Yisrael. He who makes Shalom in the upper world, in the upper levels, may he make peace for us. Now obviously peace in the upper levels means something else. We're not dealing here with the United Nations or with peace forces or what have you. This is, you're talking about the Malachim, you're dealing about the Mazolos, as Rashi says in New York. You're dealing with at a different level. Which of course tells us immediately. And again, this doesn't require much homiletical imagination, but it's quite evident in our tradition that Shalom means more than that. It has a metaphysical connotation. That Shalom is a sort of a cosmic value that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built in, has made a purpose of his creation. The root of the word Shalom and Sholein, completeness and oneness, is quite obvious. The message is that Pirud, pulling things apart, is destruction, is Chorban, is negative, has a negative impact on the world. The Tikkun Olam, the mending of the world, is the Yachid, Shem Kutsu Baruch Hu Shem Teis, to put everything together. So pulling things apart is symbolic of Chorban, putting things together, Sholem, that is why Yerushalayim is here. Sholem is a city of Sholem of wholeness, the city of peace, because that is the spiritual center of the universe as far as we are concerned, and it is the ultimate purpose of the Spirit to put everything together, which is Tikkun Olam, which is the larger meaning of Geula, of redemption, which means redeeming not only Klal Yisrael and even humanity, but the entire cosmos, the entire universe. And that is Shalom, and that is the purpose that God has built into the Bria. As a matter of fact, this Ose Shalom b'mromov is taken from the Pasuk in Iyov. And Iyov says that Hamoshel or Pachad Imor, God has the awe and the power, and he does Ose Shalom b'mromov. So Rashi in Iyov says, two pshat, one pshat Rashi says, that the mazolos, these supposed celestial bodies through which God controls the universe, makes everything run, that they would run amok, they would go in every which direction, and God forces them, each one on their own, would go off in different directions, and God forces them into a pattern so that they are organized, correlated, and work in an organized manner to keep the world running. Otherwise, the whole world would completely disintegrate from division. So here you have that concept of Ose Shalom b'mromov. The second pshat that Rashi says is also terribly important, that like Shomayim, Hazal say Shomayim is from Eish and Mayim. They are opposite components. And Hashem puts them together, makes Sholom with Eish and Mayim will normally consume each other. If there is more water, the water will quench the fire. If there is more fire than water, the water will evaporate, the fire will evaporate the water. So these are opposed ingredients and opposed components, and Hashem puts them together, Ose Shalom b'mromov, v'yaseh Shalom. And the Medrash in Bereishis elaborates on this. Bar Kapora says, Kal v'chomer, says, Madach in Bebromen, where there is no kinna and sinna, there is no ego, there is no arrogance, there is no conflict, there is no competition, there is no hatred, and all these things, and you need a sort of a spiritual superior force to put it together, otherwise it will become chaos. So kal vachomer in this world, where people have ego and people have all kinds of personality traits, and there is conflict, there is tension, there is kinnison and all these things, certainly you have to have shalom, and this is what they say. Also shalom b'vomov, who yase shalom alein about kol yisroel, here in this world, make peace as well. Now, it's hard to say. We all think we could have made a better world than God made. But we cannot think of another world other than the one in which we live. Everything in this world could have been monolithic, clone, equal, everybody could be the same, all the forces would be correlated in such a way that they run parallel to each other, and there would be no problems. But it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that kind of a world. It might have been a terribly boring world at that. And he wanted sort of a world in conflict that has to overcome its differences and make itself Sholem. In other words, Sholom and Sholem become not the creation of God, but the purpose of God, which He has built in, potentially, into the universe and into mankind. And it's our task to overcome the tension of individualism and chaos, or, as the second Pshat in Rashi, to overcome the actual contradictions or tensions between opposing forces within us and within the world, what have you, and pull it all together for Sholem. This is really the task. If we achieve that great metaphysical Sholem, then the world will become Sholem, and there will be Tikkun HaOlam, and this is essentially what is predicted and anticipated for the coming of Mashiach and beyond, that the whole world will live together in peace and harmony, as the Nevi'im expressed it sociologically, that all the nations will live in harmony, there'll be no war, etc., etc. But it is taken beyond that, certainly in the Kabbalah, but even in general Agadic tradition, that the redemption will be not only sociologically in terms of peace for all mankind, but that the whole cosmos, this whole world with its tensions and its aberrations and its earthquakes and its fires and all the terrible things that are part of the tensions of the oppositions of different components in the world will be resolved, and the world will live in peace and harmony in Achdus. But not only in Achdus in the human sense, but Achdus in the overall creational metaphysical sense of the Achdus, and there will be Sholem. Now, of course, by the way, this idea is somehow a few weeks ago we read Parshas Pinchas. There's a Sephorna. The Sephorna says on the Pasuk, on the beginning, Pinchas was given for performing his act of Mesiras Nefesh and saving the lives of the Jews. He was as Beris in Sati as Berisi Sholom. So the Sephorna says, Mimalach HaModos. Sholom means Mimalach HaModos. Mimalach HaModos, you would say Beris Chayim. And it says Beris Sholom, Mimalach HaModos. Why? Ki Inyan Ose Sholom B'Romov, the Sephorna says. Like Ose Sholom B'Romov. Mimalach HaModos is part of the period of falling apart. Created things fall apart, material things fall apart. Like the human body. I heard a good word the other day. Somebody said that this is defined middle age. Middle age is that by the time you get your head together, your body starts falling apart. But that really is falling apart. Falling apart. So he says, Oseh Sholom Emron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought everything together. So he said he gave Pinchas Brisi Sholom from Malchamovitz, ki onom hahefset lo yekore ele besibros isnagdus apefa. Loss and falling apart is a result of the tension between opposites. So Brisi Sholom puts the opposites together and makes Sholom. So the Sephorna continues, this is why
that Pinchas lived for such a long time. Especially if you say Pinchas Eliyahu, he never died. He went up to heaven alive as Eliyahu. So Bris Yishalayim, the Sephorna says, is the same as Osei Shalom B'Mohomo. That is life, because God united the Hapochim, the opposites, and created perfect unity. As if Pinchas was transformed into that Olam Habo, into that post-Messianic era. And I'm just thinking as I'm speaking, that's maybe the reason why Eliyahu will be the predictor of the Mashiach, because he has a role to play, because he is symbolic of that idyllic peace forever that brings together all of creation, and therefore will eliminate Nisa, which is symbolic of the pivot of the falling apart of opposite elements. In reality, in creation. Now, of course, as I said, our main interest is with humans. And when we start with the human being, the persona itself, the individual, we already have the opposition, the components of opposites, and the strife, and the component parts of our existence. We know, everybody knows, our tradition says we have a Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra. Now they are opposite each other, and they are part of our very being. We are often amazed, on the one hand, of the level of cruelty human beings are capable. We just have to watch the news nowadays. And on the other hand, the moments of tender, loving care and sensitivity that humans can display. And but for the grace of God, war guy, there's no guarantee. We see, you say, they build the highest of Africa. What happened in Bosnia and Christian? I mean, it's possible anywhere. And very often it's even supposedly Shem Shemayim, the earth. The terrace is we are contradicted. And it's not always hypocrisy. When people in one area seem to be very pious and sensitive, in other areas insensitive and impious, and it's not because they're necessarily hypocrites. Much of inconsistency is misinterpreted as hypocrisy. It's because we are made up of many different parts. And you can see the same people who are sometimes very tender and caring at home and roaring lions on the outside in the business world. And there are people who are timid on the outside, and at home they are arzor, are cruel. Different things, because we are made up of different things. And the fact is, at the very beginning, when man was created, we have the famous Midrash. The Midrash says, when the Rabbeinu Shlomo was ready to create man, Nasu Malacha Ashores Kitim Kitim Machaburas Chabur. The Malacha became by parties, four and again, Republicans and Democrats. Mehem Omrim Al Yivro. Mehem Omrim Yivro. Some say it should be created, some say it shouldn't be created. What was it? Chesed Omra Yivor. He's going to Chasodah. Man does a lot of chesed. The Emes Omra Al Yivro. Shekulash Korah. And they said, don't create them, they're full of sheker, falsehood. Tzedek on Yivor, Shais Yisokas, he does give charity. Sholom on Al Yivor, the Kula Ketosa. What does it mean? It's just an argument, a debate of the Malachim. The Malachim were given a plan, a blueprint. They said to God, I'm sure, let's use a little imagination. They said to God, you're creating a human being. What is that human being about? Show us the plan, the architectural plan. When they saw what man is going to be, he said, you're creating a monster. We are very simple beings. The Malachim have no Yetzirah, they're fine. We do whatever you want, it's fine. Force it. The Malachim didn't give up. The Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, they still force it. Don't talk about Shemayim. Forget about the human. It's risky. You're creating a person with conflict. On the one hand, he's full of chesed and stokah. On the other hand, he's full of ketotah and sheker. On the other hand, you're creating a monster. How will you be able to control this? So the Malachim already saw the conflicting components of the human personality. But What is the answer? The answer is, God gave us the Torah. The Torah is supposed to do b'tachtonim what Hashem Himself does b'yonim. Also Shalom b'molmo, He makes the peace up there. We pray Hu Yaseh Shalom, but He doesn't do it without our participation. Our participation in our redemptive Shalom process within ourselves as Yechidim is through Torah Mitzvah. Torah Mitzvah. That is the formula. And what does it achieve, the Torah Mitzvah? Hazal tell us on the Pasuk, V'haftos Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol yadecha v'chol levavcha with all your heart. There are two words for heart, lev and levav obviously has a plural connotation. So Hazal tell us, v'chol levavcha b'shnei levavecha v'yetzer tov and yetzer ra. V'haftos Hashem Elokecha through Torah, through Shema Yisrael, we are able to utilize our entire being, even the opposing components of our existence, which is Yetzer Tov Yetzer Ra, we can channel them and funnel them all together into the service of Hashem, the service of God. That is through Torah. And if we don't have that, then we remain with Shnei Levavecha, with Yetzer Tov Yetzer Ra, we'll be constantly in conflict. And this may be the pshat in the bottom line of the Sefer Kehelet. Sof Dover, the end of all the world. Hakol Nishma, everything is heard. As Elokim Yireh, fear God, this mitzvos of Shemor, and keep His mitzvahs, Kizeh Kol Odom. So the Posht of Pshat is Kizeh Kol Odom, this is all that the human being is really supposed to do. This is the Sefer Kehelet. This is all that I'm asking of you. It's like comparable to the Pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Ekev, Ma Hashem Shomero Ki Im Liyo. This is what it's all about. But I want to suggest that maybe the meaning is that as Elokim Yireh, that's Mitzvos of Shemor, and keep His mitzvahs, Kizeh, because this is the only way, Kol Odom, when you have one whole human being. Because without Torah mitzvahs, and without Yerah Shemayim, you have a multiplicity of characters. There was a movie, what was it, the three faces of Eve or something? This is B'tachem Shagat. The emes is that every normal being has that many faces. And it is only the Torah and Halacha and faith in God that puts it all together, which funnels everything, gives everything, makes everything, funnels into peace. And I once heard from a great darshan who said that this is the meaning in what Rav Yosef said. I think I mentioned it in the Darshan once. The Rav Yosef said, Lula Hayoma, if it wouldn't be for the day of Shavuos, of Kabbalah Satorah, Kama Yosef Peshukah. How many Yosef would there be in this place? But the portion of Pshat, as he said, if it wouldn't be for the Torah, he would be the great Talmud Chacham, and he would be another Joe, like many Joes in this week. Very difficult. Of all people, Rabbi Yosef was depicted by Chazal as being an Englishman, being a very modest person. So he should make such a statement. Lula Hayoma, there will be many others in the street. So he said, a gavaldi gavod. He didn't say as compared to anybody else. He said, Lula Hayoma, Chame Yosef Bishukah, how many Yosefs would I be? I would be divided in different parts. I would be schizophrenic in a sense. Like every normal human being is schizophrenic. Because so many things operating with us. And this is the Bereya Hatichon, this is what puts us together and brings out that Shalom, that metaphysical power that God exercises the Meromot. Torah brings out His product. His product, the Torah, brings out in our lives and puts it all together for an integrated, normal, integrated one person who is recognizable as one in whatever he does. As one person, as a unit, because everything is me'ache. This is what we call a redeemed personality as compared to a horror personality which is multifaceted
and different opposing components pulling in different directions of the individual. The interesting thing about the power of Torah to create shalom, to create peace, we see the Gemara in Gittin, in Hanazokan, the Gemara has a lot of halachas between Nedar and Shalom, for the sake of peace. So one of them is, which is very popularly known in the shuls, that we give the aliyahs to Kohen, Levi, Yisroel, Nedar and Shalom. Because otherwise everybody would be charging for, I want the first aliyah, I want the first aliyah. As it is, we have problems, even with the Kohen and the Levi and the Yisroel, Hetzachon Yisroel, and Shlishi, and Chabi, and Chamishi, and Shishi. The problem wasn't completely solved. You never solved Darkei Sholem completely, forget about it. But we can imagine the chaos that would exist, it wouldn't have. Now, our shul, the Gabon, have a tradition, Ba'akofis, for instance. Otherwise, you know, they're always the shame if they could sit in the back, they're always the pushers up front, and there could be a problem. So at least you have some kind of order. Kohen, Levi, Yisroel. Not perfect, but something. So the Gemara asked the Chasha, what do you mean it's Darkei Sholem? It's not the Kedashto that you have to give the Kohen, Mone Yoppe, everything first. Anyway, it's not the Kaiser. What do you mean telling me it's the Rabbonim of Darkei Sholem, the Rabbonim made the Takona, the Rabbonim made an ordinance in the Rabbonim. So the Gemara says no. Gemara says, what the Mishnah means is that this is the reason for the posse, the Tamakro. The reason why the Torah said that the Kohen goes first is the Nedaka Sholem, because the Torah wants to preserve peace. Pray the Gemara, why Dafke this mitzvah? It was as Cholat or Kula, Namib Nedaka Sholem. The whole Torah was given for Dafke Sholem. It goes back. Let me come up to the term. We have the Muslim affair. That all the mitzvahs of the Torah, seemingly unrelated to conflict, unrelated to any particular issue of contention, but all the mitzvahs together are, the purpose of all the mitzvahs is to put our lives all together, right? And to put our relationships with others all together. It's the guiding light for everything we do for ourselves and we do with others. And therefore, the whole Torah can be said, its ultimate Tama HaKro is Darkei Sholem. And the Emes, we have such a posse. The Gemara has a concept in Halach of Darkei Noam, Drocheho Darkei Noam, her ways are ways of sweetness, the wholeness Sivo Seho Shalom, that the roads that the Torah sort of carves out for us are in the direction of Shalom, of peace and harmony. Well, of course, all good things begin at home. So, naturally, a Shalom Bayis is a very important aspect of that Shalom process. And it is, it goes beyond the Bayis. It goes beyond the Bayis. There is a Pirkei D'Rabnos Chof Ches Gimel, if you want to check it out. Abshimim Megamniel Omar, called Hamesim Sholom B'toch Beiso, one who makes peace within his own home. Ma'al Olav HaKosef Gile Mesim Sholom B'Yisroel HaKolech HaTech. As if he would project peace into Klal Yisroel. V'chol HaMutar Kinner B'Tarus B'toch Beiso, who creates competition, jealousy, anger, whatever, in the house, is ki'ilu matri kina v'taos b'yisol olav Jew. Of course, you could say that the home is sort of the brick, the building brick of all of Klal Yisroel, and if you have bad bricks, you have a bad structure. So if there's no shalom bayis, you're affecting the whole Klal Yisroel. Or you can go one step further and take it in the metaphysical sense that the workshop for creating that shalom concept, that metaphysical concept of shalom, of peace, starts at home in your own immediate sphere, where you can build this shalom and then try to extend the power of shalom beyond your home. And we are all familiar with the Imam Hazal that is so often recited at weddings and Sheva Brachas, famous Gemara, that Zochu, if they are Zochu, Shchina b'neihem, if a couple is Zochu, the Shchina is between them, and Lo Zochu, Eishach Lo Sam, fire destroys. Fire is friction, right? Friction of opposites. Not necessarily of opposites, but friction that cannot be put together. You don't create a fire by gluing things together. They're rubbing each other, they're separate. Right? And Shchina, what is Shchina? What's the Shalom Imono? The Shchina is a Shalom. If you can create Shalom in the house, you are producing Shchina, which is the word for divine presence, for the manifestation of the divine in the human context. And that is created by Shalom, because Hashem wants that is His metaphysical power of Shalom is there when there is a harmony between people. As I said before, it's the Torah and Yirat Shamayim, which are the vehicles of creating Shalom in this world. And maybe it is for this reason that we find the Braisa, which we recite always at the end of Enkelekeinu and so on, Talmidei Chachamim marbim Shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim increase Shalom in the world. How do they increase Shalom in the world? Because they are the purveyors of Torah. And if we go by the principle that Torah is that merchandise, then all that instrument which makes it possible to unite to bring into harmony all different forces and bring the ichud and bring shalom, then the Talmidei Chachamim, the purveyors of Torah, are marbim shalom ba'olam, because they are bringing about that harmony and that ichud between people and so on. Now, that bringing unity to people is not a very easy task. Not very easy task. Because again, God created us so that we are not clones. On the contrary, the Chachamim make it quite clear that each human being is different. Kishem shepatzufeihen shono zu mezu, just like our physiognomy is different one from another, so machshavas, so dafasein in shovo zu mezu, their minds are different. A good reporter will see an event, an accident. He'll go over and ask 20 different people, "What did you see?" And they all say the same thing. But by the time he's through, he has a more composite picture than he would have asked one person. Everybody is unique and sees everything through his unique perspective. And I said, this is the pshat in Pirkei Avos, Eizeh Chocham, Halomit Mechol Odom, from anybody, even from one who knows less. Even if you hear something that you know already yourself, but you hear it from somebody else, there is a new daher, there's a new dimension to it. So if you hear the same thing from different people, I had a Rebbe, I remember when I learned learning from him. And he was learning from Sechti Vomas at the time. He says, "Yevomas, I know the best." Why? Because I learned by three different Rosh Hashivas, I learned Yevomas. Does it seem so? And the differences are not that. I mean, anybody who knows the Lomdas knows they all work with more or less the same problem. But the different perspectives that everybody gets. And putting it all together, he knew the Masechta better than he would have learned by one Rosh Hashiva. Because that's the same genre. The minds are different. That's a tremendous advantage. That makes life beautiful. But on the other hand, it makes it more difficult. Because if all people are different, how do you get them together? When there's a Chazoka Odom Omer Daldato, that a Chazoka person insists on what he thinks, the way he thinks is right. Now, if Shalom means putting things together, all right, how do you put together all these people? We have a brocha. Horoa ba'ochlos in Yisrael. If you see 600,000 Jews, he makes a brocha. The brocha of Arozim. This is Chacham Arozim. Chacham Arozim. No, Chacham Arozim. So Joseph says, "What is Chacham Arozim?" That amongst those 600,000 people, most likely are all the Machshavei
chokhmah that you need. It's exactly the same concept. Right? But everybody has a different aim. How do you get there? And again, the hope is through Torah mitzvah. We have an overarching principle, which is the Torah, which is the halakha, which is Yosha mind, which sort of supposedly forces us, just like Oysa Shulam and Rome of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forces the mazolos, these individualistic entities who would turn the world into chaos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls them together, Oysa Shulam and Rome of, to create a harmonious universe that can exist by scientific law and order. So the Torah has the power to pull together all these different forces and these different hahamarozim, these different makshavot that everybody has, and pull them together into a unity which is viable and creates shalom and harmony and tikkun and redemption rather than harm. But it's not that easy.
It's very, very difficult.
Fact of the matter is that unfortunately we sometimes see that amongst even Talmid HaChachamim sometimes we have the problem of divisiveness and the contentiousness. So even those who are supposed to be the purveyors of the Torah that creates the Shalom, they have to struggle very hard to preserve the Shalom. And we're all human, all right? And there is a certain amount of kinum, there's a certain amount of whatever every human being has, and everybody has the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov, and it's possible to succumb. It's possible to succumb. Now, Abdesla, I don't want to quote the whole thing. He says in his Sefer Mechon Elyon, in the first part, that sometimes as even you see somebody who is seemingly very knowledgeable and accomplishes a great deal and creates institutions and makarov people, he says, and yet he's arrogant, he says. If you see arrogance in a person, you see that the Torah is not really deep enough. It is somewhat superficial. And his intensity about Torah is more for the fact that it is his position. He calls it patriotism to his tradition rather than to the emes of the Torah. And I always, to demonstrate that point, the famous story of one of the great Bala Musa, and Musa figures, who was invited by one yeshiva into his yeshiva, and he showed him there were a few hundred bochum sitting and learning, and tears were coming down on the face of the Rosh Yeshiva. Says, "We're so happy. Isn't it a beautiful sight to see a few hundred bochum sit and learn?" And the Bar Musa, in typical fashion, takes the pin in the balloon, and he says, "Ramachai Chaim, I want to ask you, if these bochum would be sitting in somebody else's yeshiva, would you be just as happy? Would you also have tears coming down?" "Oh, Gavaldi, 300 bochum sitting alone." So we have to beware of it. Beware very much. And we're not always succeeding. So we see it is really, really a constant struggle. The problem of Pirul and Chum, that they are identical, is quite obvious from a historical perspective, the way Chazal saw it. Rachamim, in the beginning of Masechet Yoma, tried to find the cause for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash, they say, was they didn't have too much problem with it. I mean, this was obvious. The Korobazak, as they say, the very crude Aver. Aver the Zohar, Gilaroy, the Shechazdom. Then the Gemara asks, Mikdash Sheni, in the second Beis HaMikdash, Shehoya Oskim BaTorah, Uve Mitzvos, Mil Chasodim. That's very good. The Torah, Mil Chasodim. Everything. Mitzvos. Mipnei Ma Chorav, Mipnei Sinas Chinam Shoy B'nei. The Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam is the antithesis of Shalom. That is what pulls people apart. What is really the definition of Sinas Chinam? I once spoke about it here. Sinas Chinam doesn't mean hatred without cause. Everybody who hates will give you a big cause, a good reason why he hates. Sinas Chinam means indefensible sinner. You have no right to hate. Sinas Chinam. It's for wrongs. From the Torah perspective, it's chinam. And that's the Chinam of Torah. The Torah takes away the chinam makes the chinam, shows the chinam, and supposedly resolves the sinner. Doesn't always work. It's very, very difficult. And the famous story, which introduces again the perek HaNezokim, which is interesting, the same perek which deals with the Darkei Sholom, introduces the story of Kamtze Bar Kamtze, which was the classical story of Sinas Chinam, where somebody was very angry at Kamtze, and they invited Bar Kamtze, you all know the story, and as a result, not only did this demonstrate the roots, the shoresh of the disease which destroyed the Second Commonwealth, the Vaisheni, but it actually led to the logistics, to the historical moves that made the Chorban possible, the destruction of the Samigdash. We all know the story, with how it came with the sacrifice of the emperor and made a move and so on, and the result was that the emperor thought that the Jews are preparing a rebellion, and as a result, Yerushalayim was destroyed in the Samigdash of Chorban. That's the Sinas Chinam. I would just like to add, before I update it a little bit, the power of Sholom is quite evident, and the role of Sholom is quite evident in Tanakh and Hazal. The Torah tells us that if you declare war on a nation, you have to open up the Sholom. Now, in the text of the Torah Shebiksav, that would seem to apply to Mechemes Rishus, a war like any other war, you know, between two nations. The Rambam and the Ramban projected even further, even in a Mechemes Mitzvah. The Rambam says Beferish. He says, in Osen Melchoma im Odam Ba'olam, you don't go to war with anybody. Achikoran lo Sholom, Echot Mechemes Rishus, the Echot Mechemes Mitzvah, etc. Now the Rambam later on says that includes even Amalek, our arch enemy. When the war begins, you have to start with an offer of peace. The difference between Amalek and Sheva Amamin and other nations, that if they don't make peace, it's Mochay Timchazech Amalek, you kill them all. The other nations have more limited halacha. But the idea that you have to start with a peace offer is true even in Mechemes Mitzvah, even Amol. That's Achereka. And we know that in the building of the Beis Hamikdash, the Torah was makpid in the building of the Mishkan. They should not use Baza, not use metal. Kecheret and Nachtolevet Chalalecho. Because by introducing even the material of a sword, doesn't use a sword, is other an instrument to cut stone, but it is comparable to a cherub, and the Beis Hamikdash was built to make shalom between God and man, and the cherub destroys shalom by making warfare between man and man. Alright? So this is an instrument of peace. You cannot build an instrument of peace with an instrument of warfare. So Beis Hamikdash cannot be built with a cherub. And the tragic story of David HaMelech, who procured the land for the Beis Hamikdash, and all the wars he fought was for to protect Klal Yisrael. And according to Chazal, he asked the Urim Betumim and he asked the Sanhedrin. He followed all the halachas necessary. And yet, in Divrei HaYomim, we are told that the reason why he was not permitted to build the Beis Hamikdash is for the same reason as allowed to use iron for the Beis Hamikdash, because he spilled blood. And therefore he couldn't build the Beis Hamikdash. And he wanted it so badly. He suffered. He said, I live in a luxurious palace and the Ark of God is covered by a curtain. He couldn't take it. I says, no, you gotta wait, the sun's gonna do it. And Shlomo HaMelech managed with his enormous chokhmah and diplomacy to avoid war, and he had peace, and he built the Beis Hamikdash. And it's interesting, a Kohen who blesses the Jews, Yerechacho, and ends Yosem Lecho Sholom, the only psul really for a Kohen is the Shofach Dom, the spilled blood. The names of Bishori, the names of the spilled blood, he can bless the Jews. That is the concept of Shalom, because that is really the metaphysical glue. The metaphysical glue that puts everything together. bringing updating things. I once said, when talking about the Golos, every Golos is supposed to create something positive in Jewish life, which makes the Golos possible. God's punishment is not purely punitive. There's always a didactic and educational dimension to it. And we know more or less what emerged out of the Golos Mitzrayim, the Torah constantly reminding us the evidence of Mitzrayim, all the laws of compassion, of chesed, are always attached to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We learn in suffering, we learn to appreciate people who have less than us, who are less fortunate than we are, and so on. What is this long goal that we are still in part under? What is this supposed to do for us? We don't know yet, maybe we're getting too close to it. And only after the Gula Shalem we will find out what it did for us. But we would like to think that it would be massacring, that it would mend that which took us into the Golos. Now, if we were taken into the Golos by Sinas Chinam, we should think that the Golos helps us to get rid of Sinas Chinam. And the fact is that the conditions of Golos are such, Nufuza Omerfora Ben Lamin, that he says, you cannot believe how much energy and how much work and how much time.
So you got so much
money? I got so much money.
He gets so much money?
Yeah, he got so much money.
And so much time is spent on that could be used for more constructive purposes. Now this is only the topping on the cake, so to speak. Ashkenaz Svart, and within each community, and the various ethnic backgrounds, in Hungary, in Poland, in Yekas, and amongst Hasidim, all things that were created, the in-groupness, the divisiveness of group, of groupiness, that created so much sinas fina, so much sinas fina. And we wonder how we are going to get out of it. If that is the key to Geula, to be mesaken, to mend all that sinas fina that brought us into the Geula, how in the world are we able to get out of it? Maybe God has different plans, and there are things that are being built up in us which will emerge when the Gula Shlema comes, that will take care of all these things.
So you got so
much
money?
I got so much money.
He gets so much money?
Yeah, he got so much money.
And so much time is spent on that could be used for more constructive purposes. Now this is only
the tapping on the cake, so to speak, Ashkenaz Svaz, and within each community, and the various ethnic backgrounds, and Hungarian and Polish and Yekos and amongst Hasidim, and Dir Hasidim, and Dir Hasidim, and Machlokes, and all things that were created, the in-groupness, the divisiveness of group, of groupiness, that created so much sinas fina, so much sinas fina. And we wonder how we are going to get out of it. If that is the key to Geula, to be mesaken, to mend all that sinas fina that brought us into the Geula, how in the world are we able to get out of it? Maybe God has different plans, and there are things that are being built up in us which will emerge when the Geula Shleima comes, that will take care of all these things. But of course, it's very difficult to visualize at this particular point in time. Now, the divisiveness today in the Jewish camp, as I mentioned the other day here in Nagoya, I am less worried about Arafat than I am about the tension between the religious and the secular community in Israel. I think in the long run, that probably is a greater danger. And it is a great problem. Now, the Chachamim tell us, and the thought came to me that may be the Pshat in the Gemara. That's not the question of Pshat, but I think that may be Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Tanis, Kol Tanis she'ein bo meposhe Yisroel. There's no Tanis. You have to have, in other words, I don't know what they do in Borough Park in the Tanis. They must go out, they might come to Queens and import that for Poshe Yisroel. All right? But you have to push your sword to have the Tanis to be fulfilled. What is the Pshat? What does the Gemara mean? Is that a Tanis without pushing your sword? What important ingredient do they constitute in the Tanis? Well, I think it means it very simple. A Tanis is for our sins and for our shortcomings, and we have our pushing your sword, and this is why the Tzoros come, and we have a Tanis. We should be able, as we conduct the Tanis and want to turn things around, to pull in the Poshe Yisroel at least to the point that they understand our Tanis, that they can partake in our Tanis. It doesn't mean that they necessarily change, they're still Poshe Yisroel. But at least they have a commonality with us, which leaves an opening for us to reach out and be able to makarav them, maybe bring them back. If they don't even come to our Tanis and don't see what we are fasting about, we have no way of reaching them. We'll never reach them. And the big sakona in Israel is, as the sides become more entrenched in their position, and this expresses itself through politics, economics, and what have you, then the road of getting together becomes narrower and narrower. And Cholila will come to a point where we will conduct our Tanis and they will be sitting somewhere else. They will have no shaykhs, they won't even feel our pain that motivates us, that moves us to reach out to them. It'll be all hostility. The pivot will be complete, Cholila. And Geula means ifut, bringing Jews together, not to pull them apart. Very, very difficult. And I will conclude with what is the epilogue in my book, Exile and Redemption, and I've mentioned it in other occasions here, in regard to Sphere one. We know that the Rambam believed, that Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kokhba is Mashiach. Now, I suppose revisionism today would have maybe changed that already, but it's in the Rambam, you can't do anything about that. It's in the Rambam clear and loud, so you can't change it. Rambam says, he says it in a different connection. The Rambam shita is that in the Messianic era, when Mashiach will come, no nisim will happen. obvious miracles. And the Mashiach will not have to perform any miracles to substantiate his authenticity. Alright? And Rambam brings a raya from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, and he became one of his nosei kelav. That the Rambam said. Sharei Rabbi Akiva chocham godol mechacham mishnoyo. He was the greatest Tana. And he was a carriage. He carried the arm for Bar Kokhba. He and all the sages of the generation called him Mashiach. At Shenehach Ba'avono, until he got killed because of his sin. Rambam doesn't elaborate what were the sins, how did he get killed? There are different stories in rabbinic sources, how he got killed. Some want to portray him more of a tzaddik and he got killed by the Aron or whatever. But he got killed. The Rambam says definitely he was killed for his sin. Look, that's fine. First, the kasha is, if he had this kind of person at Avonos, how did the Rambam believe that he was Mashiach? As a matter of fact, in the next sea, the Rambam says, what is a Mashiach? Somebody will arise from the house of David, who will study Torah, Osik the mitzvahs, and do mitzvahs, kidovit ovid, like his forefather Dovid, kipito shabiksav, ushabat peh, v'yikav kol yisor yelachot. And he will persuade, of course, whatever he wants to tie to you, all the Jews to keep the Torah. Haru b'cheska shu Mashiach. Hey, wait a minute. Did Bar Kokhba present that picture? Was Bar Kokhba boker in Torah shabiksav, doshabat peh, kidovit ovid? We don't know too much about it from our sources. There's a Yerushalmi. I think in the Sefer Tanis, the Yerushalmi says, when Bar Kokhba went out to war, he said to God, don't help me and don't stop me. Leave it to me, I'll do it myself. Does that sound like Sefer Tilim? No. No. All of Tilim is, God help, God help. It's not David HaMelech Sprach, that is language. So why did Rabbi Akiva think Mashiach? So he didn't perform this. You don't need this. But you need somebody to hold up a Torah and Dovid Ovid. How could he think he's Mashiach? And what I wanted to suggest is the following. He saw in Bar Kokhba the potentiality of the Mashiach. He had the Kofas HaNefesh, as the Baal Mitzvah would say. He had the spirit, the psychology, the strength, the conviction, the dedication to Klal Yisrael, the Mashiach HaNefesh. The Gemara tells about the Gewaldig Mashiach HaNefesh that Dinah's man had. He had all the things that signaled a Messianic personality. But he wasn't quite there yet. Ogabat Torah. Rabbi Akiva joined him, and from what historians tell us, all his Talmidim, most of his Talmidim, also joined him. There are 24,000 Talmidim Rabbi Akiva had. And I can just imagine what Rabbi Akiva thought. If he and his Talmidim joined the movement, and that they are going to work with Bar Kokhba, they are going to bring him along in what they have to sell, what they have to offer, and if you put them both together, that's it. Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu said, give the Torah to Rabbi Akiva. Famous more monarchist. Rabbi Akiva gave a shir, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to say. So Rabbi Akiva was the Moshe Rabbeinu of his day. Right? So he said, there was the Loch Bessel Vidola. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Talmud Chacham of the whole day. He said, look, he will work with him, we'll give him the Torah, and we will make him a great spiritual person. And Taka then you'll be Mashiach. Then the question is, why didn't they succeed? Nobody didn't succeed? Our calendar tells us why they didn't succeed. What do we have between Pesach and Shavuot? We have a sphere. We have a sphere of Yivavelos. What's the Avelis? Based on the Gemara and Yavamah. The Gemara tells us that Ben Pesach, Ratzeret, Nesu, Talmide, Rabbi Akiva. All the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died by Ashkelon. Whatever that means, Tafir, whatever it means. Nimor says, what? Why did they die? What was the punishment? Shloi Noago Kobos Zerbusla. They didn't respect the child. There was no Achtos. Come on. Because there was no Achtos, they were not able to influence and affect Bakoch Panikas Redig of all the Achtos, because look at these, the former years, look at the Shloinzo, the Hangzo, for Abenko, for something, for a few dollars. Right? And here were people most unhappy themselves, on this law. They couldn't reach them. They couldn't reach them because they had no Achtos. So in a sense, that same Sinat Chinam, that pillar, that caused Chum, prevented the messianic possibility of Bar Kokhba, which Rabbi Akiva would have achieved and could have achieved, if there would have been Shalom and Achto between his family. And maybe that was the reason. And if he wasn't influenced by Rabbi Akiva, what was the end? Is Mace Baba Nosa. He died in sense. He remained Baba Kokhba and he died for himself. Of course, our hope and prayer is that the Mashiach has, we have many jobs for him. You have to put this on the agenda. Which means the Torah promises that the coming of Mashiach will not clone humanity. That doesn't mean everybody will be the same. There will still be individualism. Each tzaddik will have his own 310 worlds. But the forces of redemption will be so great, the shalom, the kli marzi brocha, that all these tzaddikim will be able to live together without any machlokas, without indivisiveness, and the main thing, the chassidim will be able to live together without indivisiveness. So, if he takisai alomos, then be tzaddik. But there will also be Hashem always le'amayitim, Hashem Yavor Hashem Bashalom, there will also be the Kimaz Vibocha that will put them all together. Where all these different component parts, which sometimes even are antagonistic to each other, and like Ash and Mayan, will all come together, and that will be the ultimate Shalom, the ultimate redemption which we hope will come in Herov Yameinu. Amen.